The right kind of people do not want apologies. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, with a thought for today. The right sort of people do not want apologies. So many people in this world feel that if someone does them wrong, they must have an apology. The person must say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking when I did that. I'm sorry, how I could ever do that to you, I just cannot imagine." Well, now, all of those statements are absolutely 100% false. Because the person meant to be rude to you, let's use that as the illustration, the person meant to be rude to you, and they were rude to you. You were causing them to act rude because you perhaps were rude yourself. And when a person acts rude to you, they act rude to you only because that's your reflection. If you are always loving, unconditional loving, if you are always harmonious and peaceful and happy with yourself, all your world will be harmonious, peaceful, and happy with you and themselves too. And because they are that way with themselves, they're that way with you. Now, I have seen people be rude, and I have spoken to them, and I have said, "You know, I understand why you have this feeling of unhappiness. I understand that. You just lost your dog. And it takes away a lot of your patience and your tolerance and your joy. You just feel, oh, how could that happen? Why did it have to happen? He's been with me 30 years. Why couldn't he stay longer?" You know, and of course, that's long past the dog's expected living. And they don't have to die on their expected living, you know, but and that dog surely didn't. But the person was possessed by the dog. And they wanted the dog, and they loved the dog, and that's rather nice in its own way. But when the dog went, the first thing they should have done was say, "Okay, Johnny, I'm going to go out and get another Johnny in tribute to you. Because you have lived such a long, beautiful life, I'm going to get another Johnny right now. And the ground is not even going to get cold over you. And I'm going to have another Johnny, and you know, your spirit will be in that other Johnny. Your love that I have known with you all these years will be in that other Johnny. Because I see that in this other Johnny. And he's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful dog. He already is. And he's just waiting for me. And I think he should be a puppy. Because then, as I expect him to be that wonderful dog you have taught me a dog can be, then I have good working material, you know. It's kind of wonderful. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it." But no, your Johnny went, and your broken heart, oh, you feel so sad. Sorry for yourself, not for Johnny. Johnny probably says, "Hey, I hung on as long as I could, but I'm off to my new adventure." And you might be surprised what that new adventure is if you knew. But I'm off to that new dimension. So, and so these are just the things that sort of make us unhappy. And we take that unhappiness out on our world. We take it out on the neighbor children because they're playing loudly. And we're saying, "Don't you have any respect for the dead? Who died? My dog. Oh, well, too bad. Get another one." You know, kids move quickly from one pet to another. And, you know, if a man dies and the pet has been his pet, the pet will miss the man, and the woman or somebody else will be friendly to the dog, and the dog will, little by little, be friendly with that person, and then it won't be more than a month or so, and the dog will forget that the other guy ever was there, because they do have short memories. They do have very exquisite memories, like dogs have saved children from burning houses. A dog would be clawing on the bedroom door, getting the attention of everybody. Get in there, get in there. And they open the door and hear smoke is coming up through the floorboards and the baby is lying in bed, you know, coughing. And the dog saved the baby's life. And the dog does many, many things like that. Now, why does it do that? Why does it know that? Does it know that there is, does it sense the idea of danger? When the baby is coughing or choking, is there an idea of danger? And the dog knows that mommy should be there to take care of it, or somebody at least should be there to take care of the child. And when a child rescues someone who is drowning in the river or the lake, he swims out there and lets them hold on to his tail. He pulls them to shore. And this has happened more often than we pay attention to, but why and how? We don't know. All I feel is that a dog has got a great deal of intelligence, and a dog is a greatly loving being, and a dog senses danger. A dog senses fear, too. If someone comes up to a dog with fear in their heart, the dog's liable to bite them. And the dog bites them not because the dog bites, but because the dog doesn't know what that person is going to do, what their fear is going to cause them to do. Whether their fear is going to make them kick at the dog, take a stick and hit the dog, or otherwise do things that aren't very pleasant. Now, these are things that we sometimes wonder about. We say, the right sort of people do not want apologies. It seems like we've come a long way from that, but not really. The right sort of people are the people who are balanced, who are the people who are like themselves, the people who are harmonious with themselves. And should anybody come along and do something unkindly toward them, they wouldn't see it. Remember the girl in love? And the girl in love was walking along, and she was just in her little bubble conscience. Oh, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm in love, I'm in love. And the boys in the neighborhood saw her, and they picked up some doggy doo and threw it at her. And she says, oh, did you want to talk to me? Did you want my attention? And she did not say, you nasty boys throwing dog dirt at me. How could you do that? She is untouched. But you see, why could she be untouched there and not be in touch maybe when she was coming home from school with her girlfriends or something, you know? And the boys would do something like that. To be untouched at all times, wow, that is great. Not just under the spell of being in love or the spell of winning a large amount of money or something like that. But, you see, we want apologies when we ourselves are not living harmoniously. When we ourselves are living harmoniously, no one can ever apologize for anything. They come up to us and they say, I'm sorry I tripped you, you know? And our only comment is, I'm glad you're sorry, and that's nice, you know? By the way, should we have a cup of coffee? Come on, you know? Totally changing the subject, totally taking it away. Or the person, if they were a little bit gritty and feisty, they might say, huh, you say you're sorry that you tripped me. You did that on purpose, you know that. Yes, I did. And you tripped me because you were angry at me. Yes, I was. And you were angry at me because you were angry at yourself, because you didn't get your raise that you expected to get, and you were angry that I got it instead. Ha, ha, ha. Stupid, isn't it? Yeah. You know. Well, hey, next time, let me trip you, because you get the raise and I don't, okay? Well, that's sort of stupid. Yeah, it is, but that's the way things are sometimes. As far as I'm concerned, I would have been very happy to see you get the raise. And then I would get the next raise, which would be just wonderful too. Not even bigger, I felt like saying that, but it should be just wonderful too. But you see, when you're a balanced person, you don't need apologies. When you're a balanced person, nobody can apologize to you because there's nothing to apologize for. You don't need people to belittle, not belittle, but to obsequiously act toward you, kissing your foot because they did something stupid, you know. So those are things that we want to consider and be aware of, and realize that we don't need to apologize for anything. We should never do anything we have to apologize for. We should always do things that other people would say, well, thank you very much. Well, how nice of you. Well, my goodness, how wonderful. But we shouldn't wait for that. We should do it unconditionally loving, without any expectation of anything in return, and we'll be surprised what happens. We may just do some simple little thing, and we say to someone, wow, you were really thoughtful. Thank you so very much. And then the next thing you know, the other person says, hey, I bought you a bouquet of flowers. What? You bought me a bouquet of flowers? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought you'd like them. Great. You don't need any more reason than that. You know. And then they come along another day and they say, hey, guess what? I saw this pair of gloves and I knew your wife needed a pair of gloves, and they were so beautiful and so reasonable, so perfect. I just knew she'd enjoy them, so I bought them for her. Wow, you know, you really are fantastic. Thank you much, you know, and end. But we don't know why people, isn't it nicer to do nice things than to do things that you need to apologize for? Mm-hmm. Train yourself to do nice things, and then you never need to apologize for it. Train yourself to be courteous to yourself and to everyone in your world, and to say thank you, and to say, hey, that's great, you're wonderful, and to say, you know, I love you. And say it every day of your life to everybody, starting out with yourself. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.